to that to young everyone. You may be cheated. My name is Rita Ada. I am 5 years old. Today my topic is I am running in the rain. I am running in the race. Are you running too? It's not about the colors, red, white, black, or blue. Our practice running in the race. 1, 2, 3. Reaction, pastor, pastor, how young would this race be? He says, hurry, hurry, work, 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 fulfill the prophecy. Yahweh, it's you and me. And now I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with you. My name is Noah. The title of my speech is It is Coming to Pass. Remember, in Pastor's sermon, he said that Yahweh is the only being thing that can foretell the future. Isaiah 44, verse 7. And who as I will foretell and set it in order for me, and the things which are coming and will come, let them foretell them. We can see that Yahweh is speaking to us, telling us. Only He can foretell the future. Sisters, do we believe this? Yes, we do. Today, I will share with you a few prophecies Yahweh has foretold that is coming to pass. Please turn over with me to Isaiah 11, verse 1. It's found on page 533. It says, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of the roots. The rod refers to Yeshua, who came from the bloodline of King David. The prophecy foretells our Savior High Priest and Judge. What about the branch? Is Yahweh speaking about this branch? The branch is Pastor Yisro Hawkins.
Yahweh foretold by Yahweh many years before he was born. Only Yahweh can do that, foretell the future. Also, in 1934, the increase of knowledge came to pass. Daniel 12, verse 4. And knowledge will be increased. This knowledge of computers has greatly helped us to get this message to all nations. We are on the TVs, phone, radio, internet, and even the Times Squares. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this message of the kingdom will be preach to all the world as the witness to all nations, and then the end will come. We have a big job to do. Are we going to get scared and run away? Or are we going to stand with Pastor and help him preach this message? I hope to see you there. It's a privilege and honor to turn it over to daughter Abel Kibidia Hawkins for prayer.
Shabbat Shalom. Is it turned on? Okay, praise Yahweh. That's better. At this time, it's my honor and privilege to turn over to the great daughters of Israel Abel. Praise Yahweh.
My name is daughter of Israel Abel, Tania Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. Now I would like to read to you one of my most liked scriptures, Psalms 89, verse 16. In your name we rejoice all the day, and in your righteousness we are exalted. It is a privilege and honor to turn it over to another daughter of Israel Abel, Shannon Hawk.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'd like to talk about T-R-U-S-T, Trust in the Mighty Hand of Yahweh. In the seventh book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verse 81 and 85, Pastor told us, if you read what David went through and how he finally found it out, that Yahweh himself was protecting him and bringing about a plan. And there is no way that David could have remained alive, unless Yahweh had protected him. Yahweh allowed many to be killed. In fact, and carried out his plan so you would know how vulnerable they were going into these nations. They could have surrounded them and killed every one of them, and they have done so. Had it not been that Yahweh was guiding these things by the mighty hand or the mighty Malachim. Did you all get that? Unless there was a mighty hand, we would have it all wiped out. Satan has always tried to stop the work of Yahweh, but as always, Yahweh has protected his people and his work. Please turn to Exodus 14, verse 13 and 16. Exodus 14, verse 13 and 16. And it reads, "And Moshe said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. Yahweh will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.' Then Yahweh said to Moshe, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your staff and reach out your hand over the sea to divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. In this account, there is no escape from the Egyptians. There is only one that had the power to save the children of Israel, and that was Yahweh himself." Throughout the scriptures, Yahweh gives us tons of examples why we can put our full 150% trust in him. If you remember during the Feast of Pentecost, we had the opportunity to participate in viewing the peaceful scene down at the old house. If you look at this picture here, it shows that the local Doppler radar image out at Dyess Air Force Base. Now, this picture was taken on a Sabbath afternoon of May 23rd, 2015, and this was the first day that the display was open for the viewing. Don't you almost see a perfect circle of protection around Yahweh's house? Do you remember what Psalms 91 tells us about the shower of protection? This is a perfect example that Yahweh showed to us. Do you know that all these storms around us destroyed communities and took many people's lives of young and old? But Yahweh protected his house and his people while we were here keeping his feast. Now let's go over Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. This is a familiar scripture. Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. And it reads, "Therefore, let no man or woman continue for doing these things, eating and drinking in observance of a feast day, or a new moon, or of a Sabbath day, which these are a shadow of things to come, for the body of Messiah." I don't know about you, but doesn't this sound a little familiar? Like these last days of the house of Yahweh has experienced this before? If this sounds familiar to you, then great, because this has occurred before. In fact, if you can remember the past sermons from Pastor, and even the great Kohana Tonya told us in detail how the storm clouds were all around them, but not one drop of rain fell while they kept the feast. Yahweh's protection is amazing. But do you know what? Yahweh goes even further. In the third book of Israel, chapter 17, verse 51, it reads, "And some of the time before you, Yahweh, he was taking care of you, and had his malachim guiding, keeping, and protecting you from harm, danger, and death. He maybe allowed your fingers to get burned, but he did not let you die or get killed, because he had a job for you to do." And then in the seventh book of Israel, part 1, chapter 3, verse 82, "But the safeness, the protection, no one can be safe in today's world, unless Yahweh says, 'Don't touch this group of people.'" He also says in the third book of Israel, chapter 8, verse 90, "If Yahweh says that he did not set a mark, put his mark protection upon us, he said, 'Hands off.' If he took this mark or he pushed his mark away from us, Satan would have her way today. So why do you see? We have nothing to fear of. We have nothing to be afraid of. Why? Because Yahweh already told us. Before we knew Yahweh, he was taking care of us and marking us as a belonging to him and saying, hands off. These are my special treasures. In closing, I'd like to leave you with an acronym for chest. Are you ready? Write it down if you can. T, taking you by your right hand, I will R, renew you, and U, use you as S, special, T, treasures throughout all eternity. So, family of Yahweh, this is a promise that is coming straight from Yahweh to you, his special treasures. And now I'd like to, and I have the privilege and honor to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Knowledge is truth. The house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth. Today we are going to do a knowledge check. Please number your paper from 1 to 6. I will ask you 6 questions and I would like for you to please write down the answer. Question number 1. Multiple choice. What kind of meat is appropriate for people to eat that promotes great health? A. Pork. B. Chicken. C. Beef. Or D. Squirrels. Question number 2. Multiple choice. What do we take to help us make great choices? A. Chips and soda. B. Prescription medications. Or C. Honey and butter. Question number 3. True or false? When you go out in public, you should put something on your hands to protect against germs and disease. True or false? Question number 4. What should you put on your hands to protect against germs and disease? Thief spray, RC, or lye water? Are all of the above? Question number 5. Multiple choice. What are the benefits of dressing modestly? A. Protects unwanted attention. B. Promotes self-respect. C. Guards your bloodline. D. Keeps idiots away. Or E. All of the above. Question number 6. Multiple choice. What are the benefits of obeying the authority over you? A. Safety. B. Peace. C. Ice cream. D. Candy treats. Or E. All of the above. Now let's check your answers. For question number 1, what kind of meat is appropriate for people to eat? The correct answer is B, chicken, and C, beef. We should not eat pork or squirrels. For question number 2, what do we take to help us make great choices? The correct answer is C, honey and butter. He will eat so he will know to refuse evil and choose righteousness. Question number 3. When you go out in public, you should put something on your hands to protect against germs and disease. True. Question number 4. What should you put on your hands to protect against germs and diseases? The correct answer is D, all of the above. We should use either thief spray, RC, or lye water. to protect against germs and disease. For question number 5, what are some benefits of dressing modestly? The correct answer is E, all of the above. Dressing modestly protects against unwanted attention, promotes self-respect, guards your bloodline, and keeps idiots away. Question number 6, what are some benefits of obeying the authority over you? The correct answer is E, all of the above. The benefits of obeying our authorities are numerous. Safety, peace, ice cream, and candy treats are just a few. I'm sure you all passed the knowledge check we did today. It just shows some of the protection we enjoy at the Great House of Yahweh. Thank you to the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Yisrael Abel Hawkins. How wonderful is this place? There is none other than the Great House of Yahweh. And this is the gate to the kingdom of Yahweh. Please stand and welcome the next speaker. The daughter of Yisrael Abel, teacher priestess Yamina.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today, I will be speaking on trust in Yahweh and He will protect you. The word trust, taken from the Oxford Study Dictionary, means a firm belief in the reliability, trust, or strength of a person or a thing. Today we will look at what the world placed their trust and what the family of Yahweh placed their trust in. Now let's look at what the world trusts in. They trust in their religious leaders who have no answers to their problems. Some trust in presidents and kings who are groping in the dark for answers. Some trust in military strength, which brings continual war instead of peace. Some trust in education, which put them in huge debt and no jobs. Some trust in riches and fame, which bring them misery and pain. Some trust in doctors who have no cure for their sickness and diseases. Some trust in their gods who are asleep. As you see, the world trusts in a false security which will bring them no protection. Let's turn over to Proverbs 4, verse 19. It is found on page 498. Proverbs 4, verse 19 says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." Now I have a question for you. Answer me loud and clear. Now as for us, great family of Yahweh, who do we put our trust in?
Yahweh,
great answer. We, the family of Yahweh, need to trust in Yahweh completely to have His protection when what is about to come upon the earth very soon. Let's turn over to Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21 says, "For then will be great tribulation, just has not come to pass since the beginning of the world, to this time, no nor ever will be." Pastor mentioned in the 2015 newsletter, page 14, This generation you will see the great burning of the nuclear bombs, and the sun be darkened very soon now. Great family of Yahweh, we definitely need to trust in Yahweh for our protection from what is about to come upon the earth very soon. For time's sake, read Psalms 91 at home. In closing, I would like to leave you with a few words of encouragement. Trust in these 7 T's. Trust and believe Yahweh is the only source and power in the universe. Trust and believe in Yahweh's chosen branch, Yisrael Hawkins. Trust and believe in the laws and the prophets. Trust and believe in the great plan of Yahweh. Trust and believe that the house of Yahweh is the only protected place. Trust and believe that you have the ability to sin never again. Trust and believe we are Yahweh's royal priestly family. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Okay, before I go into my speech, we'd like to read for you our special announcement. Let me show you a picture to start off with and tell me who is the person on my picture here in Times Square. Yes? Very nice. Okay, let's read. It says, in New Post, Yisrael Hawkins praises Pat Robertson for confessing Yahweh is the name of the Creator. Now, if this is on Times Square, Great House of Yahweh, do you know the amount of people who are going to see this? Do you know this is promoting Great Yahweh's name? Praise Yahweh, and this is what we want. Okay, let us read for you now. The name of the Creator cannot be replaced with titles like God and Lord, says Yisrael Hawkins, and this is on this week. It's dated 6/5/2015. A total headline impressions are 50,550. The audience being 17,869,680. Praise Yahweh. They will get the right news soon. They will hear it all. We have an audience of, before it's news, the audience amount is 3,977,245. We have an audience of 2,893,348, and this is markets.financialcontent.com. Well, that's very nice. In New Post this week, Yisrael Hawkins praises religious leaders for confessing Yahweh is the name of the Creator. Do you agree, Great House of Yahweh? Absolutely. That release date is 5/29/2015. Total headline impressions are 80,291. Next one, Yisrael Hawkins calls on all religions to wake up and make drastic changes to end the suffering in his new letter. Does that make sense, Great House of Yahweh? Yisrael Hawkins calls on all the religions of the world to wake up Release date 5/22/2015. Total headline impressions 124,805. Praise Yahweh. And this is the end of the special announcement from the great overseer. I will now begin with my speech. Shalom, everyone. Today I'm going to speak about light. Light. Why light? The greatest teacher in the world, Israel Hawkins, has been talking about light recently, and he keeps mentioning Zebulun. The people of Zebulun saw a great light. But before I bring up the issue of the light, I want to talk about photosynthesis. It's a little big word, children, but all it means is the way that plants make their food. Plants make their food through a process called photosynthesis. Could I see on the chat, please? Children, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a plant run up to the cafeteria and order 2 Oki burgers to make some food? Have you ever? How do plants make their food? Because plants have to eat, and plants have to grow, and plants have to produce. True or false? Have you ever seen a plant go into the order and order 2 Oki showed them? So how do plants make their food? Science calls the fancy name, has a hand up. Science calls the fancy name, but Yahweh calls it something basic and simple. Let's look at the chat. May we please? Photo on the chat, photosynthesis. Photo stands for light, like a photograph, light. And synthesis meaning to create or make. So how do plants create their food? And on the chart, we see the sunlight. So plants use the energy from the sunlight. Are you with me? They take a little energy from the sunlight, and they use that carbon dioxide in the air. And if you breathe out quickly, children, like this, you'll be breathing out some carbon dioxide. See? The plants use some of that to make their food. And also some water. And what are the nutrients, whatever nutrients or elements are in the soil? These are the things the plants use to make their food. Now I have a question for you. Tell me, science, how can a plant use sunlight, carbon dioxide, water, the soil, the things in the soil, and make Are you with me? How does plant use this energy from the sun? And look at the color now. How does the plant use sunlight, carbon dioxide, something in the soil, water, and says, well, how make this? We'll get them afterwards. And all the fancy colors. And look at the amount. It says, in this case, let's make some round ones. What are these called, children? It's okay to laugh. It's fine. Grapes. Little tiny round. And then, let's do the nice big one. How do plants use carbon dioxide, water, energy from the sun, and make this? Can the science answer? They'll tell us, well, it's something in the seed. But great house of Yahweh, do we have the answer? Do we have the answer? In whom are we going to trust? The one who knows precisely, and we can even answer, the four-year-olds younger than the four-year-olds children in Yahweh's house can tell us the microorganisms. Yahweh have set them by law to do their job. Now, I really wanted to cut this to show you the color inside. Do you want me to cut this? Yes. Because all I want to ask the science, how come what occurs, who directs to let the plants do the variety, this one yellow, these brown and purple, this one green and something red inside. Great House of Yahweh, we were studying microbiology. And we read that science only knows 5% of all the microorganisms in the sea. They only know 5%. Those of us who know math well, how many percent do they not know? 95. Mankind does not know 95% of what is going on with the microorganisms in the sea. So who are you going to put your trust in, Great House of Yahweh? Are we going to trust the one who knew every single microorganism that was created from the foundation of the earth? And he can name everyone by heart, up to those that he knows will still be there. Are we going to trust him? Oh, there we are. He told the microorganisms, by law, the green must be on the outside, and what's inside? And are the microorganisms in unity with Great Father Yahweh? Is that where we want to be? Very nice. Wonderful. Now, light for us now. Let's take this concept of photosynthesis and take it into the spiritual walk that we have in the Great House of Yahweh. Let's say the light, the sunlight that the plants use to make their food. Let's say we know that light stands for the law. True or false, Great House of Yahweh? True. For example, Psalm 119, 105 says, say with me if you know it. Say it. Your law is a lamp unto our feet and a light. Do you agree? And a light. So Yahweh's laws are our light. Also the seventh lampstand, seven lights. Through all the ages of mankind, Yahweh gave seven works, seven lights to shine in the dark corners, to teach and preach his laws. Great House of Yahweh, I have a question for you. What kind of light are you today? What kind of light do you want to be as an individual? Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the prophecy, if they teach not according to those things, it is because there is no light in them. Because there is no light in them. When you are nourished with Yahweh's laws and that light, what are you shining out to your sisters? Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light, Great House. We are the light of the world. How are we shining? How are you shining as an individual? The seventh lampstand lamp is never going to go out. The western lamp is never going to go out. It's us right here. No, do not rip off the tears. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. In the end, the great overseer tells us, there will be a huge division, a huge separation, because the light, that seventh lampstand, is not going to go out, ever. Is that the kind of light that you want to shine? Do you want to be a part of that light that never goes out? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your great work and glorify Great Father Yahweh, who is in heaven. Who do you want to put your trust in, Great House of Yahweh? What kind of light are you as an individual? What light are you shining forth to your sisters? Are you a strong, nice, steady, bright light that she can rely on the right way, of course, to grow herself? Let's look at the lighthouse, the example of a lighthouse. the lighthouse is built really high, and when there's a storm and the sea and the waves are raging forward back and forth, and the boat is going this way and that way, and the captain wants to give up ship, then suddenly you see that light from the lighthouse flashing. And the captain and his crew are confident. Light, lighthouse. Is that the kind of light that you want to be, sisters? Praise Yahweh. The kind of light, do you want to be the kind of light that will shine physically and spiritually, of course, in the dark system, the wicked, beastly system that has corrupted mankind for all those years? The prison system. We want to rewrite all those books with the light of Yahweh's laws. True or false, great house of Yahweh. No more will they take a mentally disabled person and stick him into the prison. What does he learn there? How does he grow there? I don't mean to shout, but Yahweh is going to need lots of lights. Do you remember the pastor of a great overseer, the greatest teacher in the world, Israel Hawkins? Do you remember he had a dream? And he said he saw all those lights flashing around him. Do you remember that? Now, if you don't remember, and he said in the dream, the lights were so bright, but he was thinking to himself, but they're not hurting my eyes. Please check with your Israel Says program and read about it, okay? The light that we want to be is the kind of light that we can look into the hearts of our sisters with the light of Yahweh's laws and see where our sisters need help, and we ourselves have been nourished enough with Yahweh's laws day and night, so we can shine on her and tell her, my sister dear, you need to do this, you need to do that and that. Is that the kind of light we need to be, sisters? Now, to end, I was going to bring my candle. And my matches. And I was going to light it for you. But the children said to me, do not light a candle anymore. Put the candle on. Do you know what this is? A remote control to put the candle on. I was very hurt. I said, what am I going to tell Mother Sarah when we resurrect her? I said, Mother Sarah, we don't light candles anymore. We put the candles on. And see? Is it going off? Is it going on? Is it going on? It's on? See? Is it off? A remote control to do your candle. But I just had to share this with you. But we want to put our trust in Great Father Yahweh, Great House of Yahweh. And I would just say verse 8, Psalms 8, just to close up nicely. How excellent is your great name, Father, in all the earth. Yahweh, our sovereign Father. You have your glory firmly set above the starry frame. From the mouths of babes and suckling, great Yahweh, strength by you is ordained. So you could steal the enemy, your vengeance would be crushed. When we consider your heavens, the work your fingers frame, the work of the sun and the moon that was by great Yahweh ordained. What is man that you are mindful of, and the son of man that you visit him? You've made man lower than Malachim, and you crown him with honor. You make man to be ruler. You will make man to be the ruler of the great works of your hand. You will put all things under his feet. So who are we trusting in, great Father, great house of Yahweh? We are trusting in great Father Yahweh. And you are the light of the world. So keep on shining. Keep on shining. And with this, I turn over to the great head judge, Simonia. Praise the Lord. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, sisters. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Have anyone ever noticed when women speak or they teach a class, we tend to speak on our emotions or what we're going through, right? We tend to gear our speeches that direction. I do that myself. I tend to do that a lot. We tend to go on the route of a heart-to-heart conversation whereby we bare our souls and our hearts and what how we feel inside. But this time, overseer said, no, try prophecy. To tell you the truth, when I hear the word prophecy, teach prophecy, I start to shake in my shoes. Because you have to put a lot of effort into it and time. It's not like something you can throw together in 2 minutes. Hope we do not disappoint this morning. The title of my speech today is The Price of Eggs in China. We all like eggs, right? How many of us have heard this phrase before? The price of eggs in China. Right, all of us. We all have. Because overseer have mentioned it many, many times. Time and time again. He would say, the price of eggs in China. Or he might use Japan the next week. Or China or Germany the next week. He changes it up. But if you notice, it still comes back to the price of eggs. What does it have to do with anything at all? What does China have to do with Germany, have to do with America, have to do with Israel? Okay, reading from the 12th right. Okay, please let us turn to Revelation chapter 6, verses 6, on page 975. And it reads, verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see you, do not hurt the oil and the wine. Notice that last phrase, the earth, the oil and the wine. Hurt not the oil and the wine. In the four creatures referred here is, as we know, as we have been taught, it's the quartet. It is Russia, the United States, EU, and the UN that was created in 2002, the quartet. And then for reading further on, it says the oil and the wine. The wine refers to the lifestyle that we live. And the oil is the breath of life that drives that lifestyle. It funds that lifestyle. Remember that, the oil. Hurt not this lifestyle. If we read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. The Lamb here is Yeshua. These scriptures have confounded many historians, many knowledgeable people. They did not know what it was, but it was not their job. It was for Yeshua to open these seals in these last days. Turning over to Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 4. Remember, the job of Yeshua was to open these seals. But you, O Daniel, who is a mighty prophet of Yahweh, he was very righteous. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and the knowledge will be increased. Knowledge will be increased. And then moving on to verse 7. No, move to verse 8. So I heard, but I did not understand. Daniel had these prophecies. He was prophesying it, but he did not understand. Do you know how frustrating it is to be writing something, seeing something, but not understand and crying out to Yahweh for that knowledge? And Yahweh just tell you, shut up the books. It is frustrating. Then I said, O my ruler, what will be the end of these things? Verse 9. But he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. So Daniel here, who was writing these prophecies, it was not his job. He was just given the job to record it. That was it. But it was not for him to reveal these secrets. Okay. Remember I spoke about the oil and the wine. Bear that in mind. Because in today's society, what is the main thing everyone is fighting over? Isn't it oil? It is oil. Everyone is fighting over oil. One country has it, another one wants it. Because this is what drives the economy. This is what drives everything. I'll explain it to you. We have heard the news, what is going on in the Middle East and Russia, right? I'm going to explain to you why it is not normal.
Okay, can you hear me?
Everyone hear me? Yes. Okay. This year, in economics, right, there's something called the law of supply and demand, right? It is something that the economists use and the business people use to gauge the price of products that we buy, consumers buy. Okay, so we have demand and supply. Supply refers to the quantity that will be sold at any point in time in the economy. And demand is the amount of, and the demand is a, the, excuse. If all factors remain equal and constant, demand is what is demanded at any point in time. It is the higher the price, the less. Therefore, if the price is high, people will tend not to buy, right? But if it's cheap, they will buy more. So what is going on with the oil now? Remember, in the Middle East, right now, at the beginning of 2015, the price of oil was roughly 40-something odd dollars per barrel. That is the lowest it has been in many, many, many years, right? So now with demand, you have my demand strip. If the price is high, the quantity, right? So we set it at $70 a barrel. Right, so at $70 a barrel, if you notice, the quantity will be going down and down and down, the amount being consumed by mankind. And supply is what the producers of the oil use to gauge how much oil you will put on the economy at any one point in time. And the supply goes this direction. right? So when the man crossed the supply, you have equilibrium. That is the price at which you have perfect price, where the consumers will buy and the producers will produce. But not so at this point in time with oil. What is going on? The demand for oil is high, yes, but the problem is in society today is what is going on in society today is that we have Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is one of the main producers of oil in the world today. They produce a lot of oil, about 40% of oil. And in January, the price of the oil was $45.32 per barrel, very, very low. And in Saudi Arabia, to break even with the price of oil, they have to make, the price of oil had to be set at $65 per barrel. So right now they're making a deficit, a loss. So rationally, the supplier supposed to cut back on the price, on the supply of oil in the economy. They're supposed to cut it back. But are they doing that? Are they cutting back the price, the amount of oil on the market? No, they are not. And that goes against all laws of economics. It goes against it. Because they are swamping the market with oil. They must be doing that for a reason. Because in January, they produce per day 9.6 million barrels of oil per day. And that is according to www.ycharts.com. So they are producing that in January. But rationally, they're supposed to say, okay, the price is so low, I am making a loss. Let me cut it back. Cut back the amount I'm putting on the economy. Are they doing that? No, they are not. Because in February, they produce 9.7 million barrels. They keep on going up and up and up, swamping the market. Right? So we follow that so far. So now, there are other people who produce oil in the world. There's Russia, there's Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates. They all produce oil. But the OPEC countries, which are 12 countries, mainly country, Russia is not a part of OPEC. The OPEC countries are still swamping the market with oil, up and up. Because I have an article here, look what they said. Saudi Arabia lets the world drown in oil. Remember the law of demand and supply. If the price is low and supply is high, they will yank some from the economies, from the markets. But no, they are not doing that. There must be a reason. To the surprise of nobody, Saudi Arabia and other OPEC members states decide in Vienna on Friday. This article was written in 6-5, yesterday. Friday, to maintain production targets of 30 millions of barrels a day, making sure the world remains flooded with oil. The fact that OPEC, particularly the core countries of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and United Arab Emirates, have refused to play their traditional stabilizing the market, meaning to force the price up, they will cut back production. Roll and cut oil production makes it less likely that the oil prices will rebound, meaning the price of oil will still be going down and down. Further on in the article, it says, Saudi Arabia, it seems, not only wants to protect their market share, but gain market share. Yes, it wants to inflict pain, remember, hurt not the oil, on the United States shale energy producers. And new OPEC policies has caused four U.S. corporations to go bankrupt because they have enough money to do this. They are very, very rich. They can keep on doing this for months and months and months, flooding the market, even though they are making a loss. You lose some to gain some in the long run. And managed to get the rig count down to 646 from 1,609. So the United States had rigs that produce oil, that drill for oil at 1,600, but now because of the flooding of the market of the oil, it has gone down to 646, which is hurting the American economy. We see that, right? Okay. So now, also, another country that produces a lot of oil is Russia. Recently, there have been sanctions against Russia. We have the other economies did not shut Russia off of SWIFT. SWIFT is something like PayPal to the common person. It is where you can trade money and pay for products and obtain products for your economy. Because you cannot go wrong with $10 billion in your pocket in a boat to drive it over to Japan to buy the eggs. No, we cannot do that. So they do it wirelessly. One of the sanctions Russia received was one. EU nationals and companies may not provide loans to 5 major Russian state-owned banks. Therefore, you're smothering Russia. And two, export license will be denied if products are destined for deep water exploration and production. Remember prophecy, hurt not the oil. Services necessary for deep water exploration and production, Arctic oil exploration or production, and shale oil production in Russia may not be supplied. They cannot get the products they need to build their rigs. So you are smothering them even more. If you don't have the products, how are you going to produce the oil? How are you going to get the money to supply your economy to make you that great powerhouse? So they are trying to smother them. For instance, drilling, well testing, and launching services. So we see what's going on with the oil. Hurt not this oil. So I'm a person that always wants to know why the prophecy is important. And Yahweh foretold of this many, many, many years ago in his plan. He gave it to Yeshua and Yochanan, wrote down these prophecies in these last days. Yochanan did not understand. In Revelation, it said he cried and he wept because he did not understand. He was frustrated, but it was not his job to understand it. It was for who? Yisrael Hawkins. It was for Yisrael Hawkins to explain these prophecies to us. We are the only ones that understand it. That we should call as a blessing, sisters. That is why the house of Yahweh in these last days was established. So we see war, hatred. We see war, violence, and hatred all about the oil. All about the oil, sisters. We have to understand that. It can be used as a weapon to force others to comply, meaning if you don't do what they tell you to do, they can use it to comply, to force you. That's why you have sanctions, force agreement. Remember, the breadth of this lifestyle is the oil that drives it. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25, it says, O fools and slow of hearts, are we a fool? Are we unbelieving still? Or are we going to believe in the prophecies that stand true? We are going to believe because it is true. Yahweh is the only one that can foretell the future. That is why the house of Yahweh was established in these last days by the two witnesses, to shed a light upon these prophecies, to explain it. And then, what comes next? The end will come. That is the next step. I hope you enjoyed this presentation. It was my privilege and honor to speak before the call out ones. And I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
as the seed of the greatest teacher in the world. Israel Abel Hawkins, Yahweh's last day's anointed witness, I greet you and say Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. Only in the house of Yahweh can you get a biology class, an economics class, and then the title of my speech is Prophecy 101. The house of Yahweh established. That is no small thing. Without the house of Yahweh being established in these last days, we would have no hope, no guidance. And we all know the prophecy spoken of in Isaiah 2:2, Micaiah 4:1 and 2. We know of Zechariah 5:11, where it speaks of it would be established in the Babylonian land not yet existing. We understand these prophecies and how blessed we are to have these understandings brought to us by the greatest teacher in the world. In our classes, we're going over the house of Yahweh established. When I came to the house of Yahweh, oh, let me back up, that was my first mistake. I didn't come to the house of Yahweh. In Yochanan 6:44, Yahweh tells us he draws us near. We don't come by ourselves. We were all preordained to come. So it isn't us who do anything. It's all in Yahweh's plan. So when Yahweh drew me to his house, I read the house of Yahweh established, and I have to make a confession. I didn't really understand prophecy. I didn't come looking for two witnesses. I didn't even know what the house of Yahweh established really meant. What I did know I knew I heard someone crying in the wilderness, crying out, sparing not, lifting up his voice like a trumpet that was being blown so beautifully, laws that were being taught. I could teach these laws to my children and they would have safety, peace, joy, and abundance. That's what I hung on to. I hung on to the name, I hung on to the law. And I saw elders in our area and they'd talk prophecy and I would sort of listen, and I was like thinking, this is way over my head. I'm just a farm girl. I don't really understand these, but the laws are enough for me. That was another mistake I made. That isn't enough. You must have the laws and the prophecies together. Isaiah 8:20 says, if they speak not according to the law and the prophecy, there is no light in them. And we just heard that what that great light is. From our great head judge. So I just continued on thinking maybe someday I'll understand prophecy. Well, being in the house of Yahweh for a while, I read the house of Yahweh established and I agreed with it, but I really didn't understand it. Then in 2004, our great overseer put the House of Yahweh established booklet into his prophetic word. And I thought that was such an amazing thing that he did because we already had it in a booklet. But sometimes we get busy trying to keep up with the books of Israel, the prophetic words, the newsletters, that we don't get back to the booklets. So in 2004, he put it in there again. And then now, in these last days, the ending of the last days, he's taking us back in our classes to the house of Yahweh established. And that is a great thing, sisters, because if we don't base everything we do, every thought we think, every belief that we have on the every word of Yahweh, the laws and the prophecies, we will have no foundation to stand on. And the overseer has done his job. He has given us that foundation. We can't say he hasn't done that for us. And now it's up to us to hold fast to that and to support him in what he does. On page 11 in the booklet, The House of Yahweh Established, it talks about a man named Simon Magus. Said he was a sorcerer and that he bewitched the people. And I thought, well, what does that word bewitched mean? So I went to the Strong's number 1839, and it means to put out of wits, to be beside oneself, to throw out of position. And I thought, that is the Catholic Church right there, that bewitches people into thinking that they don't need the laws and the prophecies, that they don't need one cent in these last days. But we know that that's not true. But it reminded me of a scripture in Revelation 3:11 where it says, "Let no man take your crown." We must hold fast to these things and prove everything that we believe in these laws and the prophecies. When we look at what sin is and what righteousness is, we can start a dictionary. Let's start a House of Yahweh dictionary. You know, when you go look up a word, it tells you what it means. So when we want to know what sin means, we go to our dictionary of definitions, sin. And all of us will have the same answer. It's not one will have one thing and one maybe thinks it's another. We all know it's 1 Yochanan 3:4. If I want to know what righteousness is, I also have to ask, because when the little ones in the house of Yahweh, they know all the answers. It's Deuteronomy 6:25. Love, what is love? 1 Yochanan 5:3. See, we don't base what we believe in the house of Yahweh upon our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own interpretations. We allow scripture to tell us what these things are. Why would we not go to the Creator who made us and formed us to get everything we know? That's what we do in the house of Yahweh, and it's such an amazing thing. And the house of Yahweh being established in these last days, as time went on, Yahweh started helping me to understand prophecy. And it's amazing to see that we can fully rely on all the prophecies being fulfilled. Prophecy proves itself. We don't have to wonder when Yahweh says something, do you think this is going to be? I wonder if this is really true. We know that when Yahweh says it, it is. And we know when Yahweh says it through the last days anointed witness Israel Hawkins, we know it is. We don't have to doubt, sisters. We can hold fast to that and firm to that. When everything else seems to be falling around you and the tests and the trials come upon you, lean upon what you know is true and factual in the house of Yahweh. It says in the book of in the house of Yahweh established that we are the seed and the offspring of Israel, Abel Hawkins. And it says in here how it would cause us, he would use us to shine forth. But also, going back just a little bit, it talks about that we would have at this time the ability to destroy all of life. And we know that's true because in Daniel 12:4 it says that knowledge would be increased, and with that increase in knowledge, the technology that mankind has used, they are creating it to destroy themselves. And Yahweh's allowing this. He's allowing this to show mankind that they cannot lean upon their own understanding, that they cannot walk their own way and have success. But we can. Every prophecy will be fulfilled to the law and the prophecy. If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. And I was thinking about the preachers in the world and how they can go on and preach their own thing, but they stay away from prophecy. They stay away from prophecy. You know why? Because then they'd have to come to the house of Yahweh. They'd have to give up their religion, because you know what? All prophecy leads to the house of Yahweh. Where the house of Yahweh is going to be, who is going to be over it, the credentials for the one that is to be teaching this in these last days, the great Israel Hawkins, his credentials are in there. They would have to admit that they're preaching falsehood. They would have to admit that, oh, I must be one of those in Jeremiah 23, where they went out preaching without being told, without having the authority. We, sisters, have one that stands as Yahweh before us, who guides our every way, painstakingly guides us and teaches us over and over. The house of Yahweh established over 20 some years ago, I was able to know the house of Yahweh was established. But only so that we could be used to teach others that the house of Yahweh is established, that Yahweh has a house here. And as a mother chicken takes under her hens, under her little chicks under her wings, we are to gather you out there and within our own minds the great laws and the prophecies of Yahweh, to bring and to be kept safe and protected, to be taught so our children have a way to walk. Prophecy. If we didn't have the prophecy with the law, we would be deceived because we wouldn't know who was supposed to be teaching us. We wouldn't know where to go. So do you see how wrong I was when I said, all I need is the law? How wrong I was, and how right Israel Hawkins was, is, and always will be. And that is in prophecy, that he, his lamp, this house, that western light spoken of by the great head judge, will not go out. Lean upon the laws and the prophecies. Lean upon them. They are sure. They prove themselves. The house of Yahweh established in these last days. The last anointed witness according to prophecy. Prophecy. Everything leads to prophecy. So going back to the fact that we are the seed and the offspring, where it says that the Spirit would be poured out upon us. Okay. So what is Spirit? Remember, we can't lean upon our own understanding. We can't think it's some poofy thing that's going to occur. Yochanan 6:63. The Spirit is life. It says the Spirit is the laws of Yahweh, which bring us everlasting life. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I give to you, they are life, everlasting. So we know that it's not something that we don't have an understanding of. Understanding in the house of Yahweh is given freely and abundantly by the overseer. It isn't something that he keeps, but he wants us to understand it so that we can do as he does. We can never do it as great as he does. We can never do it in place of him, but he wants us to be able to do these things also, to learn the prophecies, to understand the laws, to teach them to others so that they can teach them to others. So, as we go on, being the seed of Israel Hawkins, it talks about that we will be used as a shining forth to cause to sprout forth, to cause deliverance, righteousness to exist or spring up. That's where we had left off in our class last week, except I couldn't stop there. I had to turn the page to see what he wanted to say about us being the ones shining forth, to cause to sprout forth, to cause deliverance. As I turn the page, it says, notice what a glorious revelation is given here. It is due to the shining forth of the seed of the two witnesses that deliverance is brought about by those delivered from the wrath of Satan. Now you know, Israel Hawkins could have said, I did this. I established this house. I stayed up all night. I worked endless hours. I cried my heart out. I've wept for those who have left. I've cried out, sparing not. I've lifted up my voice. I've done all these things. But you know what? That's not Israel Hawkins. Israel Hawkins is the most humble man on the face of this earth. He said it was us that did these things, that are going to do these things. But I'm no fool. I know that without Israel Hawkins, none of this could have been done. You're no fool either. You know that without Israel Hawkins, none of this would be done. Prophecy was given for the believers. And where is that? I made a concordance, and I encourage everyone to make a concordance too. Besides having your definition of words and the scriptural meaning of them, you can also make a concordance. And so I'm going to go to Prop P, because I know that's where I put prophecy. Oh yeah, there it is. Prophecy for the believers. That's in 1 Chronicles 14:22. I encourage you to make these things to help your studies, to remind yourself how important it is to keep that foundation strong upon which we stand, which is the laws and the prophecies, to hold fast that which what was taught to us, and to stand with the Anointed One in these last days, to bring forth this great message of the kingdom. May Yahweh always be honored and glorified, and I praise Yahweh for the time that I have with you. And at this time, it is my honor and my privilege to present to you a great daughter of Israel, Abel Hawkins, one who truly shines forth in these last days. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, so before I start, I would like to give you a quick announcement. Obtain your Yisrael Says program now. All you need is the CD to install, and you will have not interpretations of the scriptures, but the true inspired words of Yahweh through Yisrael Hawkins, giving you the scriptures that interprets and explain the answers to your questions at the tip of your fingers. There is no need for internet. Look forward to an upcoming class that will teach you more about this program. Okay? Everybody got that? So pick up your Yisrael Says program, okay? You're going to love it. You're going to love it a lot. Okay, so now, let me go on to my portion here. The title of my speech today is Scattered, Now Gathered. Scattered, Now Gathered. I want everybody to sit at the edge of your seat. Watching. Sit at the edge of your seat. Now, you're in the same vehicle as me. Except I'm the driver, and I'm a very, very... let's just say I press the brakes real hard, okay? So you got to sit on the edge of your seat and be ready so when I press the brake real hard, you don't fling forward, okay? So I'm going to take you on a ride, and we're going to take a trip back to history. How far are we going? I want you to write down these years, okay? Because this is very, very detailed historical things, but I don't want you to miss out on this revealing of prophecies, okay? So write down these years and skip about two or three lines and then write down the next year, okay? I'm going to make sure everybody's taking notes. No one's falling asleep. Oh, did I tell you my car has AC, so it's nice and cool, okay? So you should be fine. And now the first year I want you to write down 1700s through the 1800s. 1700s through the 1800s. And I'll also let you know that I despise history. I did not like remembering names. I did not like dates. I didn't even remember the presidents. I'm telling you the truth. I went through it, but I could not. So I'm going to really break down history for you, okay? So skip a few lines, and let's go to 1924. Skip a few lines. 1934. Skip a few lines. 1962. Two, three more lines. 1965. The next year is 1986. And after that is 2014 to present time. So I'm going to bring you back home, okay? So don't worry. Keep in mind that when I go through each event, each date, okay, each year, we're going to be touching upon three things. Yahweh's work, the current event at that time, and the immigration policy. Oh, you see where I'm going with this? Three things we're going to cover in these years. It's very exciting, I'm telling you. It's very, very exciting. The three things is Yahweh's work, the current event, and the immigration policy. Now, how I came about this study that was inspired by Yahweh to Israel Hawkins to me is because of Pentecost. I mean, Pastor was so simple. I mean, he stuck to one scripture. Any of you remember that scripture? Jeremiah chapter 23. Woo-hoo. Well, Pastor, you know, they were listening to you during services. Okay, so Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's turn to it quickly and let's refresh our mind. Jeremiah chapter 23, page 591. Woe to the pastors, shepherds, who destroyed and scattered the sheep of my pasture, says Yahweh. Remember my title? Scattered, now gathered. Now, 3 days of Pentecost, right? The last great day being the actual Pentecost. So the first day was on 5:23, and for the morning services, Pastor spoke about this verse, and he said that the pastors of this world, right, destroyed and scattered the sheep. But in verse 3, Pastor emphasized that he would gather a remnant. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, wow, that's us. Second day of the feast. 5:24. I'm telling you the date so you can go back and get these sermons and listen to it. He spoke again. Jeremiah 23. And he said, America is that gathering place. Do y'all remember that? I hope you did. Third day, that morning, he again spoke about Jeremiah 23. This is what he said, we are the substance of a great gathering in the last days. I will establish my promotion. And the gathering took years. Wow, 1700s until this current time. Can I please have my video?
Of Homeland Security could partially shut down this Friday if lawmakers in Washington don't come up with a way to fund it.
Money to keep DHS going is tied up in a dispute over a move that the president made on immigration. Some Republicans do not want the president, among other things, to grant legal status to undocumented parents who have children born in the United States. So where do our immigrants come from, and how have those groups changed over time? Good questions. Here's Heather Brown.
I was born in Mexico.
In Cambodia.
Vietnam.
13% of people living in the U.S. right now were born in another country.
Has that number gone up and down over time?
Yeah, it has, actually.
Erica Lee teaches history at the University of Minnesota.
It seems rather high, and if you look at all of the news headlines.
We need to secure the border.
We should give them a path to legal status.
It's certainly high, but it's not the highest.
The peak was almost 15% at the turn of the 20th century.
When we had mostly immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe.
And the all-time low was 5% in the late 60s. That's when the law changed and the government started requiring immigrants to have skills or family relationships to become citizens.
One of the problems that we're facing right now is that it's been 50 years since we've had comprehensive immigration reforms.
Back then, Italy had the biggest share, 11%, followed by Germany, Canada, Mexico, then the UK. Now Mexico has the largest share, 28%.
The towns that we came from was poor, so they decided to come up here.
Followed by India, the Philippines, China, and Vietnam.
How long have we been debating immigration in this country? Since the very beginning. So since we were colonies, Benjamin Franklin famously talked about the swarthy Germans who were taking over Pennsylvania. We passed our first immigration laws barring a group based on race, and that was Chinese immigrants. And then by 1930, every other Asian immigrant group had been restricted or excluded.
Do you expect us to be having immigration debates 100 years from now?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Now, when we compare ourselves to other countries, we do have the highest number of immigrants. It's estimated to be about 1 million a year. But percentage-wise, we rank 12th. Now, as a percentage of a population, there are many more foreign-born people in countries like Luxembourg, Israel, Switzerland, Australia, New Zealand, and our neighbors to the north, Canada. So a lot of countries are dealing with these issues as well.
Well, we'll hear a lot more about it in just a couple days here.
We absolutely will.
Sure. All
mm-hmm.
right.
Thanks,
Heather.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a good question for Heather, you can email it by going to wcco.com/links.
Okay. So you see that? Did you notice that year 1934? Did you notice that year 1934 on that screen? So when Pastor was going through this sermon, I'm thinking, okay, we're gathered here to America, and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm thinking, on the last day of the feast, I'm like, oh, isn't that immigration? And that's what it is. Immigration, the whole event of immigration is the gathering. Do you agree with me? Gathering them to America. So I'm thinking, praise Yahweh, that is a great work. But how does that tie in with Pastor? So now, ready for your pens, your pencils? Make sure you got two pencils. That's always the rule. So if one breaks, you have another. Okay, the 1700s. During that time, Yahweh's work, it was going on, but remember, it was through people that had to worship in secret because they were getting persecuted. So they were fleeing persecution from Europe, from Germany, wherever it was. They were fleeing persecution. That was what was occurring with Yahweh's work. Remember, they were just got done fighting over the Bible. We want the Bible, we want the Bible, and they're getting persecuted, so they had to run. During that current event, same thing. People were saying, hey, America, new land, let's go. Okay? They were exploring. So guess what occurred to the immigration policy? It's not like today. There was no limitation. Anyone can come. Anyone can stay. Anyone can go. Nothing really mattered. Now let's jump down to 1924. This was the year when Yaakov was born, right? 1934. That's Yahweh's work. Yaakov was born. The current event at that time, it really began in 1929. It ended in 1939, but that was the Great Depression. And something about the Great Depression was it shut down everything. I mean, everybody was like, woe is me, got no money, can't feed my family. And there were so many people in America coming from everywhere. So guess what they did? They say, well, we keep on letting these people come, they're going to take all our job. The more people come, the more mouth we got to feed. Okay, that was the current event. So the immigration policy, they created the quota system. That's Q-U-O-T-A. Q-U-O-T-A, the quota system. And this led up to also the visas. Are we familiar with the visas? The crookedness of it? The quota system say, well, we only allow like about 3% of you to come over here, and probably just about 0.009% of you to come over here of your population. So it gave a lot of limitation. It started to limit who comes to America. And that was during Yaakov's birth. In 1934, Pastor was born. Now remember, the quota system was already in place. So Pastor was born, and of course we know that Hitler also came in office. And the Nazis, that's the current event. And everyone, Pastor said the Jews weren't really called the Jews, it was really the Sabbath keeper. So now we have Sabbath keepers who are in Germany, who are in Europe, who wasn't allowed to come to America, and they wanted to come to America. But what occurred? In 1924, they had set a limit. And they say, no, you cannot come. So let's think about it. Pastor was here in America before that policy came in place. Do you see that? All the persecution going on with the Nazis over there. And no one was allowed to come. But Pastor was here already. In 1962, and also back in 1934, for the immigration policy, no one was allowed citizenship. All immigrants, nope, sorry, you can't have citizenship. In 1934. In 1962, pastor began his radio program. And then a work was beginning to brew to bend the quota system. In 1962, there was works going on that they want to shut down this quota system that was limiting the people to come to America. In 1965, pastor was still doing his radio program, preaching and publishing the message. And that is when, in 1965, I'm going to say this law that the government passed, the Immigration and Nationality Act. Immigration and Nationality Act. And this basically abolished the whole entire idea of we will only take 9% of you, 10% of you. In fact, none of you can have citizenship. That abolished it. In 1986, we know the House of Yahweh was already up and going. We had a building. We had preaching and publishing real strong here. And that's when President Reagan and Bush, they passed another law that granted legal status to 3 million immigrants. 3 million immigrants. So if I'm in a different country and I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, it's time to come. It's time to come. Now, do you remember one of the great things that occurred in Yahweh's work in 2014? It's like in the days of Moshe. And pastor said, "Let my people go." 2014. He said it nice and clear. "Let my people go." And guess what President Barack Obama is doing? He's trying to open it up, and he's trying to push the immigration policies to where we can allow these immigrants to become citizens, to come to America and have an opportunity, yeah, maybe for education, maybe for a job, but could it be an opportunity to sit at the feet of the priests? Could that possibly be? Do you see how Yahweh is inspiring all of this? He had control of the entire thing. If he didn't, one little mess up, pastor would have been back in Germany. We wouldn't be here. We would not be here at all. So everything that pastor speaks about, let it soak in your mind. And think about all the current events and say, this prophecy is coming to true. It's coming, and it's here. And get excited about it. And don't hate history. I've overcome that. Don't hate history, because everything that occurred in the past was all done by the control of Yahweh. So now if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to a great teacher in the house of Yahweh, Hedja Tana.
Shalom. You may be seated. The title of my talk today is "You May Fall Short, But Don't Sell Yourself Short." Okay, I'm going to repeat that. You may fall short, but don't sell yourself short. And I want to start out by kind of giving you a little history here. And that is, growing up, most of us were told our whole lives when we made a mistake, it's okay, nobody's perfect, right? How many of you have ever heard that? Oh man, that's true. So, you know, when society tells you that, it's okay, when you make a mistake, it's okay, nobody's perfect. Are you ever going to strive for any kind of perfection in your life? Nah. So we all grew up, and we all kept going, and we made more mistakes. The mistakes turned bigger as we grew older, and people were still telling us, it's okay, nobody's... Okay, great. Now, one day in all of our lives, if we're sitting here or reading or studying with this great house, you came in contact with an awesome man who looked you square in the eye from a television set or the podium and said, "You must become..." Okay. Now, if we have to become perfect, there's got to be a way or some kind of guide to get us there, right? Yahweh wouldn't just tell us to do something and then not give us any way to be able to achieve that, right? How many of you remember what Yahweh said to Abram in Genesis 17:1? He said, "Abram, walk in my ways. You need to be perfect." Okay, that's in Genesis 17:1. And by the time Genesis 26:5 came around, Yahweh said, Abraham obeyed my voice, my charge, my laws, my statutes, and my judgments. Abraham was on his way to becoming... Right. So you think we can do this? This is something we can do, right? This is something we can do, and you have to have it in your mind, or you're gonna sell yourself short. You're gonna say, "I'm not gonna make it anyway. Nobody's perfect. I'll never be able to overcome." Those are words that the world has fed you your whole life. But you remember that great man who has set an example for us through everything that he's been through, and he tells us you can become right. So we tend to think this negativity. We tend to let this be a part of our DNA. We got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of it because it's like an anchor and it weighs us down. So I want to turn to Psalm 19:7. Psalm 19, verse 7. If everybody could go there. Psalm 19:7. I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19:7 through 11. Because this is the way that the overseer has shown this light on these scriptures, because Yahweh reveals it to him. And he tells us how we can achieve this perfection. And it says, "The laws of Yahweh are converting the whole person." And that's me and that's you. No matter what anyone's ever told you your whole life, these laws, they bring you to perfection. Converting the whole person. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter where you went and what you did and who you hung out with and how and what got you here. What matters is what you start doing once you get here. Once you start getting here. The testimony of Yahweh is making simple right. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart or the mind. The commandments of Yahweh are pure, bringing understanding to the mind, the eyes. The reverence of Yahweh is clean, enduring how long? Forever. Don't let any Christian tell you they're done away with. These laws, statutes, and judgments endure forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and altogether righteous. Now, they're more to be desired than gold. Yes, than even much fine gold. They're sweeter than the honey. How many of you have ever had honey? Now, honey's pretty sweet. So for Yahweh to use this analogy, I was thinking, wow, these laws are sweeter than the honey. When I'm sure we all take our honey before we go to bed at night, like our overseers told us to do, along now with our crackers and our peanut butter, right? Don't forget all these things he tells us to do. But he's telling us that these laws are sweeter than that honey, which, you know, sometimes, remember when we first learned them, we come here from people telling us, no, you can't become perfect, nobody's perfect, you know, you're just not going to make it, you can't do it. So sometimes when we learn these laws, they might not seem so sweet at first, but once we start practicing in them and doing them, they become sweet. They're more to be desired. Moreover, by them, these laws, statutes, and judgments, are your servants warned. Warned of what? The prophecies? We've been hearing about all these prophecies. We're warned of what comes upon us when the whole world doesn't keep these laws, when everybody thinks it's okay not to be perfect or striving for this perfection. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Okay? So we got there. Now we need to go to 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. Now, I want you to remember the peaceful solution and what Pastor tells us about the peaceful solution when I read the scripture. because there's a certain thing I'm going to ask you if you remember, because this kind of ties in with that peaceful solution quote that he gives us. It's 1 Timothy 1:8, and it says, "We know indeed that the law is perfect." This is the part that you really need to underline. If one agrees with the law, taking it to himself to use. So if you don't practice the laws, right, just like if you don't practice the peaceful solution, then you're not going to become perfect. It's not going to bring you to perfection. Just hearing the law doesn't bring a person to perfection. Remember, it says, the laws of Yahweh are perfect. Converting, that means converting is an action word. There's an ing on the end of that word, which means it's an action word. You have to do something. Converting. You're converting to these laws, right? So remember, when it says taking it to himself to use, the law, that should bring to mind right away 1 Yochanan 3, verse, if we practice righteousness, pastor must use that 80,000 times a year, minimally. Okay? He or she who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. That's in 1 Yochanan 3, verse 7. So now we're going to jump over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out and achieve your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yahweh who is at work in you, both to will and to act according to his righteous pleasure." There's a work going on inside you, right? If you're converting, if you're doing the ing, there's a work going on bringing you to perfection. If you're taking the law and you're using it, right? Okay, great. So we're laying a foundation here. I don't have, for time's sake, I'm going to, no, I got to really read this. Philippians, I want to read Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. I don't really want to skip anything. There's just too much foundation here. And it says in verse 12, "Not as though I've already attained it." No, you're not already perfect. I hate to bust your bubble. "Not as though I've already attained, nor were already perfect." No, I'm sorry. You're not. Not yet. Not yet. "But I keep pursuing after it." So what do we got to do? We got to keep pursuing after it. We don't give up. We don't say, nobody's perfect. I can't do it anyway. We keep pursuing after it. 3 out of 4 people say, "Yeah, I'm done. I couldn't come to perfection. I just couldn't do it. I tried really hard for a few years, but I'm done." No, we have to keep on pursuing it. It's an action, right? "That I may take hold of that which Yahshua Messiah has taken hold of me." Yes, Yahshua, he's involved in all of this. It says, "Brothers, house of Yahweh, I do not consider myself as already taken hold of it, but the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are left behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead." So don't be dwelling on your past. It doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what you did while you were there. What are we doing now and where do we want to be? What are we doing now, and where do we want to be? Okay, house of Yahweh, forget about the past. You left that behind. That went down the drain when you went into the baptismal. You came up. You're a new woman. You're a new person. It's gone. Okay? The microbes have already dealt with all that. Okay? "I press on," verse 14. "I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Yahweh in Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, let us, as many as are perfect, think in this way." Now, he wasn't saying he was perfect, but he was saying, "I," 1 Yochanan 3:7. That's what he was saying. "I do," the 1 Yochanan 3:7. So I want you to say right now, after me, "I do," the 1 Yochanan 3:7. 1, 2, 3. "I do," the 1 Yochanan 3:7. Great. You're halfway there. "And if in anything you think otherwise, Yahweh will indeed reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to that which you have already attained, let us walk according to that standard. Don't go backwards, and let us be of the same mind. We have to be in unity. We have to be in unity. Okay? Okay, so now got some of the groundwork laid. I'm going to move on here. Once you start doing these laws, I got a little secret. Now, I didn't tell you this at the beginning of the speech because sometimes when you hear this at first, you might not want to stay to get to this portion. Once you start striving to become perfect, those who don't want to strive to get there, they start persecuting you, hating you, saying all manner of evil against you. It is tough, rough. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Because sometimes we say with our mouths that we can handle it, and when the persecutions come, we run. Can you handle it, House of Yahweh? Can you stand behind our overseer, Pastor Israel Hawkins? Now, Pastor Israel Hawkins, well, I got to back up a little bit. Got to lay a little more groundwork. Cain persecuted Abel because why? Because Abel's works were what? We tend to sometimes think if someone's being persecuted or going through something, that they've done something wrong. Get the big spiritual eraser and get that out of your minds right now. Do it with me. Get it out of your mind. Because 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all who live righteously will suffer persecution. And I want to read Jeremiah 18, verse 18, because this is a really great scripture. Jeremiah 18, 18. This is one of the prophets. You might remember that name. And they said in verse 18, come, let us devise plans against Jeremiah. For instruction in the law will not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us attack him with words, with the tongue, and let us not pay attention to any of his words. Was Jeremiah righteous? Were they trying to persecute him so people would think that he was unrighteous, right? Okay, you got to kind of get the picture of what's going on here. Luke 6, verse 33 and 34, it says, for Yochanan the Immerser came. This is, you got Yeshua talking here. He's talking about Yochanan the Immerser. Because Yeshua at this time, he's going through some persecution. And you know Yeshua, he's the Messiah. He's pretty righteous. Right? He's pretty perfect. He's one person that he doesn't have to say, I'm practicing the perfection. He's saying, I am the perfection, right? So here he is, and he's in Luke 6, 33 and 34, and he's saying, for Yochanan the Immerser came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. So here he's testifying of Yochanan, and he's saying, look, he didn't come drinking or eating, and you said this guy's got a demon. But then he says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, well, look at him. He's a drunk. He's a wine bibber. He's a friend of sinners and publicans. Who can listen to him? So could Yeshua win for losing at that point with those people? No matter what he would have done, in their eyes, he would have been wrong. He would have been unrighteous. He would have been evil. Was Yeshua unrighteous or evil? House of Yahweh, you got to keep these things in your mind because things might get tough. You got a man who carries around an upside-down sword who's saying a lot of pretty bad things about the things that you do, the people you love, and the hopes that you live for. Okay? So you've got to stand strong. Now, in Matthew 28, I really want to get this in there. In Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15, because it says, now, while they were on their way, behold, some of the guards or the soldiers went into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that were done. So here we go. Yeshua right now, they've already done murdered him, okay? Get your mind where it's at. In verse 12, it says, when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a large amount of money to the soldiers. Now picture this. They were at the Callahan County Courthouse. No, they weren't. This is Yeshua. So these Roman soldiers, they gave a large amount of money. They were paid off, the soldiers, and they told the people, they said, tell the people his disciples came in at night and stole him away while you were asleep. This is what I want you to tell them, okay? Here's some money, so you'll go say it. So is everyone that is persecuted unrighteous? Okay, so we get given them the money. And not only am I going to give you the money, but if it reaches the governor's ears, we will convince him and we will keep you out of trouble. So not only am I going to bribe you to lie, but if anyone finds out about it, we're all going to stick together with our story and we're going to back you up, because this is Yeshua Messiah. We don't want to hear what this man has to say, because his works are righteous and he's exposing our evil. Do you get it? Do you see it? Isaiah 43:28. Therefore, Isaiah 43 verse 28, therefore I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood, and I'm going to give Jacob to the curse, this has occurred, and Yisrael to what? Reproach. Yes. Now, Pastor's been through some things. Does anyone remember this? Pastor in his orange jumpsuit? Okay. Now, Pastor was smiling and he was walking through the courthouse, and I remember him telling one of the police officers, at the lowest point of the man's existence, he says to the police officers, well, at least I haven't sinned. Now, do you think that Pastor was just wanting to make conversation with a cop at that moment? Pastor was explaining, and he wanted that man to know, I know what you're doing to me. I know what the system is doing to me. But at least I know in the integrity of my heart that I have not sinned. That's why he did it. He had to say it. Pastor was fulfilling a prophecy by saying it. He was suffering that reproach, but he wanted to teach those people, I know what you're doing. I know you were paid off. I understand these things. I read the scriptures. I am the one sent. I'm sent by Yahweh himself. I know you're doing a job. You've been ordained to do this job, but I've been ordained to do my job, and this is my job, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. These might have been what they looked like in the courtroom, you know, some of these kind of faces. But then Pastor saw our faces. And remember, he turned around and he bowed. And he said, what a beautiful sight when he saw us. So that should keep us going. Because when I'm tested, I picture him smiling in that courtroom. I picture him walking down that hall. And I picture him telling that cop, at least I know I have not sinned. I can stand here in the integrity of my heart and tell you that I have not sinned. Just like the first Abel was persecuted because his works were righteous, so the second Abel, this last Abel, Yahweh proves everything through his prophecies. In Amosha 3, verse 7, he says, I'm not going to have any work unless I tell you about it first. He told us about this work, as was brought out before, in Isaiah 2, verse 2, Micaiah 4, 1, Zechariah, remember it says, in a land that hasn't even been invented yet. There was no United States at that time. He named Pastor by prophecy. I'm having to kind of blow through some of these scriptures, but he named Pastor through prophecy. Prophecy proves all things. How could we not believe? How could we not believe? I want to go over some of Pastor's credentials before I close. Great House of Yahweh, Pastor's got credentials. You have no idea. I couldn't even go through them all because they'll be telling me, get down, your time is way up. So we're going to look at, Pastor foretold of his own arrest. Do you remember that? I was sitting in the old sanctuary in one of those pews when he brought that out. He foretold of his own arrest. He thought some of us would run when that occurred. Maybe some did, hopefully not. But he foretold of these things. Yahweh was with him. It came to pass. He made it through. Yahweh had his back. Nancy Grace and Shepherd Smith were mocking and making fun of Pastor when he was bringing out about the microbes and the global warming. Well, they must be eating their words now, because the scientists are backing up our great overseer, who learned these things by being inspired by Great Father Yahweh himself to be able to teach us these things about the microorganisms. Pastor was preaching about nuclear war way back in the 80s when I first came. Back in the 80s, Pastor was preaching that there was going to be nuclear war. Back then, nobody even talked about nuclear war. Do a Google search about nuclear war now. Pastor foretold of these things. Yahweh inspires this man. He is the one sent. Sent by command. Remember what it says in Zechariah? They're sent by command. That doesn't just mean, I command you to be sent. That means I have spoken about you in the prophecies. That's your credentials, Yisrael. I named you. I brought you. I brought you up. You're going to have a seed. They're going to absolutely adore you. They're going to love you. They're going to want to be just like you. Why? Because you teach him, by these are your servants warned. And in keeping them is great reward. So no matter what occurs, I want you to remember. I always want you to remember this. Take a look at this face. Take a look at this face. This is not a face only a mother could love. This is the face of our great shepherd, our great overseer, the one who's going to lead us into Yahweh's great kingdom. And remember, he went from orange to gold in a few not so easy steps. But he's taking us there too, to the purple, to the beyond. We can do this. We can do this. We see the love of the many growing cold. We see technology increasing, but yet their love and their morality is decreasing. You would think with all the time that Yahweh's given them and all the many blessings of technology that they would at least be able to become in unity and love one another. No. It's just as the prophecies foretold. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Okay? But we have to be strong. I've got a little poster here. Because Great House of Yahweh, we're standing right now in what is known as none other than the Great House of Yahweh. We have to learn to be strong. We have to learn to be brave. We have to learn to be faithful. We have to be a believer. And if we can do all of these things, then we will become a great teacher, just like our great example, the great Israel Abel Hawkins, our awesome overseer, our teacher, our guide, our friend, our dad. Praise Yahweh. And House of Yahweh, please stand strong. Don't let the persecution cause you to waver. Don't let the persecution cause you to doubt. Stand strong, be brave, and enter into Yahweh's kingdom right behind that great man that Yahweh's given us in these last days. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.